Psalm 89, as it has been a providential reading in Psalm 89, my ordered devotionals are not schemed in a certain way. They follow a day-by-day-by-day regimen. So wherever I land in my study program is where I start in the course of each day. And so today's readings brought me to Psalm 89. And I'd like to read the first 21 verses for you in the aftermath of yesterday's election results and the lead up to that. In Psalm 89 verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea, when the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces. As one that is slain, thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine, as for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. And then I have you note at verse 19. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. It occurred to me when I read verse 19, if I can be allowed this morning observation, realizing that the primary interpretation of the entirety of what I've just read through the basic, the rest of the psalm is millennial in its outlook. It's a prophecy. The title of the Psalm 89 there, the Maskil of Ethan, is just basically a psalm of instruction, and it points way downrange to the coming kingdom and the Messiah, but it also has that intermediate observation with regard to David, who is said to be here according to verse 3 and what we just read in verse 19 as the chosen one of God, chosen out of the people. What caught my attention was when I read it, verse number 19, of course, the transparent, if you take the text out of its context, you could easily brush alongside and make some kind of a strained application to what just happened yesterday. But that's just momentary. That is just temporary. That is just a devotional thought. And so while it is apparent that the Lord has intervened in the U.S. election, in a sense the political right has been at least for 4 more years reestablished, potentially, yet for the child of God, that would be us, for our country, our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. I would remind you of that Christmas prophecy out of Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, just a portion of Isaiah 9:6 where it says, that our government shall be upon, or the government shall be upon his shoulder. His shoulder has nothing whatever to do with contemporary application. That's clearly a pointed reference to the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. We need to understand one thing very, very clear as Christian people, that the kingdom of God has not arrived on earth with the election of Donald Trump to the U.S. presidency. Has not. We've got to take into consideration a couple of things. So I give that morning observation that I have, and then I have the millennial prophecy that we point out of Isaiah 9 verse 6, the government shall be upon his shoulder. And again, at the 19th verse here in Psalm 89, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. A clear reference again to the the dynamic interplay between the Trinity and the roles of the Father and the Son and the Spirit, and in this particular instance, the one who is mighty, upon whom help has come, will be Christ Jesus the Lord, King of Kings. Now, there is a moderating perspective that we need to be aware of as Christian people, and realize that in the prayer times of God's people here and around the country leading up to this election, I don't know what other people were literally verbalizing, but one of the things that kept reoccurring in my prayer times was a simple request that God would give America yet time and space to repent of its evil. And what I mean by America, I'm not thinking about the unsaved community. The only repentance that is in play for them is a repentance concerning their attitude about God, but I'm thinking about repentance on the part of the American church, the Bible-believing community. We understand that the Scriptures teach us that judgment, when it comes, will begin in the church. And so I really do think that God has purposely, without consulting any of us, dynamically intervened in what seemed to be a tide that was going in the totally wrong or opposite direction. And I have to admit, faith failed on my part, because there came a time 3 or 4 days before the election that I just gave up on it. And the day before the election occurred, I just stopped praying. And I said, Lord, I trust you to do the right thing. I've done enough talking. You know how I feel about this whole thing. And I'm just thankful that nobody has heard my imprecatory praying in the foyer on the weekdays. I'm glad nobody heard that. So I'm done with talking and leave it to you. And I was resigned to it, resigned to what was coming, and was preparing myself for that. However, God had other plans. So I want to give you a moderating prophecy, lest you be lulled into a position where you think that the man is the solution to our ills. I'm going to give you some references. You can take them down and chase them yourself in their context on this moderating principle. First of all, at a place like Psalm 147, 5th through the 11th verses, I would point out the 10th verse there. And here's what that 10th verse says, referring to God. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. Okay? And if you read that in its context, Psalm 147, it gives you just a little bit of a brief list of what God is able to do. But then I go from there into Proverbs 20, verse 7, where it says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. There's our hope. We have that song in our hymn book, or we sing it, or it's special music. Our hope is in the Lord, who gave himself for me, us, ye. Then we come to Psalm 21:31, and again, it does require a little bit of preparation, but there it says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Of the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 32, verse 8, and keep this in mind with regard to this president-elect, and anybody he may appoint to office, anybody, with him, is an arm of flesh. But with us, the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Our dependence and our trust is upon the Lord. The Apostle Paul cautioned the Corinthian believers in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 5. He said simply this, because, you know, Christian people are notorious for clinging to human beings unnecessarily and unwisely. And here's what Paul told those people. Because they tended to focus on him and a couple of others in the church who were prominent leaders in the church. And he said, your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now that's pretty clear. Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Makes no difference if they're Republican, Democrat, independent, or non-affiliated. Whoever is appointed or elected to place of leadership, your trust should be in the power of God. And then we're reminded too, reference out of Ecclesiastes 9 verse 11, that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Not yet favor to men of skill. The writer of that book says, time and chance happens to them all. And when I thought about that for a bit, another reference in Psalm came to mind. Psalm 31:15 that says, My times are in thy hand. Thy hand. So when I look at this, I'm reminded again that the kingdom of God has not arrived yet on earth with the Trump victory. Christian people should not be under any irrational illusions. He's just a man. He wears t-shirts and underwear. He wears socks and shoes like the rest of us do. Now they may cost a little bit more money and we would spend on them, but they serve the same purpose. He might wear different kind of rings and wristwatches than we do, but his wristwatch will do the same thing yours does. It'll tell time. He's just a man. He's just a man. And as Dan hinted, we need to assault the throne of grace at least as much, if not more, in these days than we did prior to this happening. Whatever may be accomplished for America in these days, whatever might be spared America in these days, is going to be entirely in the hands of the sovereign God. And we need to remember as we give this moderating perspective that our hope is in the Lord. And the prophet Isaiah said, I am the Lord. Beside me there is no Savior. None. The apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, there's one God, one mediator between man and God, and that is Christ Jesus. And I just love those three words that you find out of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9 where it says, we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of man. He should be our focal point at all times. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, there is none other, none, no competitor, no rival. And so we are as God-fearing, Bible-believing Christians obligated to be patriotic. And Romans chapter 13 outlines for us our civic duties with regard to those in authority over us, whether we like them or whether we don't, whether we are going to agree with the policies or whether we won't. Romans 13 is pretty decisive on what it prescribes for God's people. And so the course will remain the same as it was beforehand to the aftermath. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. And remember, we are still, at least, at the very least, 7 years away from the kingdom. At least 7. No more, no less. 7 years away. So I'm so thankful that we live in a country where we are still afforded freedoms and freedom of thought, freedom of expression, and where it is true that no matter how great the philosophical, theological divide exists in our nation, one thing is true that can't change. At the end of the day, every single one of us, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodists, Lutherans, whatever, who are children of God, are Americans. Christians first, Americans second, and we have that bond that we hold together. And so I will take the same position today as I always have, as a Bible-believing Christian pastor and as an American citizen. Over 50 years ago, I took an oath to my country, and even though my term expired, my oath has not. And I am just as committed to performing the oath that I made before God and that assembly of other people on the day that I enlisted, and that if that means that I need to protect and encourage those who, with whom I vigorously would disagree with on many points, as an American citizen, I'm obligated to do that and will do so. But in the meantime, my hope is in the Lord. I realize that that no man, however principled he or she may be, can accomplish anything of any real lasting value without the aid and the blessing and the favor of God's hand upon them. And it is there that we come into play. One with God is the majority. And so we need to be sure that we are always on the right side of things. And we're on the right side of things if we're on God's side on things. And then we can see our way through clearly to praying earnestly and fervently in the days ahead. It's going to be an exciting thing to see what God is going to do in the lives of people. If yesterday was any indication, buckle up. This is going to be a nice ride until Jesus comes, wouldn't you think? Sooner the better for me, for ye. So let's pray and then be off in our little groups to continue. Our God and our Father, we thank you for saving our souls, for keeping us. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you bring our way. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the rebukes that you send to us and for the redirections. Lord, help us to heed your signs. And help us, dear Heavenly Father, to realize that we live in the light of the any moment return of the Lord. May we conduct ourselves accordingly. Help us. For Jesus' sake, I pray. Amen.